want to talk about reaching our world, and we want to leave tonight on the tone of our resources, God's faithfulness. And He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Let's pray. Lord, where has the week gone? But it has been a beautiful time. For we trust. We have seen Your face. And that's all we need, Lord, is just a glimpse of Your face. As we go down from this mountain to the very daunting situations that many of us face. Lord, we have met You and it's been good to be here. Lord, You etch on our heart that which You want us to remember, and by the power of Your Holy Spirit, work out, Lord, what You have spoken and worked in this week as we go. Now, Father, minister to us tonight as we finish. May we leave seeing You and all Your great faithfulness, we would pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we do want to talk about our resources in reaching our world. The challenges before us are just many times overwhelming. We talked about the need in the United States alone last night. This was overwhelming. In the Middle East and in the Muslim world, we're looking at 1 billion Muslim people who have never had the opportunity to see Jesus Christ. I don't even know how to deal with that. They live in 44 different countries. They make up 4,000 different cultural groups. They speak 580 different languages. And if we just looked at the need and the people, it could be a hopeless situation. And your situation, you may feel, is daunting. And you may feel, Lord, the process, the refiner's fire through which You want me to pass. Lord, I can't do that. More than a conqueror, the process of being a living sacrifice. Well, as we leave this conference, where are we going to focus? Are we going to focus on the needs of the world or our great God, who is more than adequate to meet the greatest of needs? Remember, the Great Commission is God's idea. It will be done by God's power. And wherever you're ministering, He's there first. He's taking the initiative. And look to Him. Lord, where are You working? What are You doing? In fact, wait upon Him. Wait upon Him. And listen to His voice as to what He is doing. And stand by Him, because He is with you. Tonight, our passage of Scripture that we want to kind of focus on and think about is Lamentations 3, 19 to 25. Lamentations. Verses 19 of chapter 3 says, I remember my afflictions and my wanderings, the bitterness and the gall. If the enemy doesn't get us overwhelmed by the need of the world, he gets us overwhelmed by our inadequacies and need personally. And he desires literally to paralyze us with that. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. And he is an accuser of the brethren. And he wants us to know and to remember these things that we feel very inadequate and fall very short in. And he wants us to do nothing and make sure his goal is to make you downcast in your soul. Verse 21, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. What are you going to call to mind as you leave here? What's going to give you hope? Well, it's Jesus and all that he is and all that he's done for you and who you are in him. Now, there's an author that I like very much on spiritual warfare, and that's Neil Anderson. And he wrote the book, The Bondage Breaker. And I like his book because he focuses on truth and Christ and the person of God and not the devil in the whole philosophy of doing warfare. So many times we can talk about spiritual warfare and we just talk about the devil. Well, he's beaten. His thesis in The Bondage Breaker is the only power that the devil has over you are the lies he gets you to believe. That's it. That is it. He has died and conquered the enemy. And the only power that he has over you are the lies that he gets you to believe. So he's put out another book called Living Free in Christ. And every one of our people that are coming through this summer, we have about 14 or 15 from the Middle East that are cycling through. I'm going to give one of these to. I've been doing that. And it has to do with our acceptance in Christ, our security in Christ, and our significance in Christ. And as we go down the mountain, that's what we have to focus on. Is the truth in Jesus Christ, his work and what he has done for us, our identity in him, our worth and our value that he gives us in Christ. I recommend this book to you, Living Free in Christ. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his passions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You talk to yourself? Well, you should. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope, whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. As we leave and leave the conference, let's be focusing on the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, you are my portion. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Now, as you minister to reach your world and you're going down life's road, you look at your resource gauge. And it says a full tank of steadfast love. That's what you're operating with all the time. A full tank of steadfast love. Now, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. How does an infinite, almighty God try and communicate to finite beings like ourselves the amount of love that never ceases? How does he do that? Well, he uses the picture of the heavens. And in Psalm 103:11, he says this. Try this on. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love. Wow. As the heavens. Bob Hage, a friend of mine, and you, a number of you know him too, was Vice President of McDonnell Douglas Aircraft, responsible for a lot of the research in putting our first man on the moon, was addressing a university graduating class, and this is what he had to say about the heavens. We don't really intend to conquer space. This is physically impossible. As you know, our solar system is compared to the sun, which is similar in makeup to the stars we see in the heavens, and the nine planets ranging from Mercury to Pluto, all revolving around the sun as the stabilizing center. Even at an average speed of 25,000 miles per hour, a direct flight to Pluto would take more than 15 years. Now, by contrast, a light source from Earth traveling at the rate of 186,000 miles per second, reaches Pluto in approximately 5 hours. Do you know how fast 186,000 miles per second is? Okay. Well, if I were to fire a bullet, and that bullet toward the horizon at the speed of light, and it went around the Earth in continuous orbit, I couldn't step out of the way until it had passed through my body 7 times. That's 186,000 miles per second. Using that tremendous speed of light as our yardstick, the Moon is 1 1/3 light seconds away. Mars is 5 light minutes, and the Sun is 8 light minutes. However, the nearest other sun or star in our Milky Way galaxy, called Alpha Centauri, is approximately 4.3 light years away from the Earth. The spaceship traveling at 1 million miles per hour would take 3,000 years to reach our nearest star neighbor. And our galaxy is composed of some 30 billion stars, most of which are 10,000 light years or more distant from our sun, and all moving around a center in the Milky Way. As we view the heavens by a telescope, we can calculate that the nearest other galaxy, which is called Spiral Nebula N1, also containing billions of stars, is over 1 million light years away, but that's not the end. Our radio telescopes have picked up thousands of more distant galaxies and star groups. The most distant quasar discovered to date is nearly 10 billion light years away. Even as far away as they are, astronomers estimate that they are a little less than halfway to the edge of the observable universe. How much steadfast love of the Lord is available? As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is my steadfast love for you. Now that's what you're going home with. And at night when you walk, look up there and say, man, that's my resource. His steadfast love that is high above the earth as the heaven. That's what he has for me. A whole heaven full of his love. Now that's impressive, but I'll tell you, the supreme expression of God communicating his love is Jesus Christ. I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And he says, this much. And he stretched out his arms and he died for me. That's how much love. That's the greatest expression that we can really tell and understand. And out of this love, we love. And out of this love, he enables us to be a living sacrifice. See, we know John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16 really nails it. By this we know love. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And we can, because he loved us that way. Now, God's great faithfulness to us flows from the very root of love, his great love of who he is. Now, how does this reality of his great love and his faithfulness affect us right to the end of our lives? Is it dependable? Well, a dear friend of ours that we co-labored with in the Middle East, Miss St. John, she was a head principal of a British school. Her father was something else in missions, and all the kids were in missions, and they were in the Middle East. His name is Harold St. John, and he walked from his youth in the constant joy and dignity of knowing he was beloved of the Lord. That love captivated him as a very young man and changed the whole course of his life. It energized him with a strength that seemed almost superhuman at times, poured out in a very passion of single purpose. And there's our word again, passion. And at the end, the knowledge of that love grew deeper and brighter, transforming pain and weakness, casting out fear, falling like sunshine on the shadow of death. till as a dying man he could look up radiantly and say, I'm too weak to pray. I'm too tired to love him much. But I'm just lying here and letting him love me. And he went into his presence at 81. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. And he never, never fails. His mercies never come to an end. Now the meaning of that is found in Psalm 103:10. He hath not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. How many saw the musical Les Miserables? There's a number of you that has. It's a very redemptive story. And the main character has been thrown into prison because he stole bread, basically, or he got bread and was accused of stealing it, and finally was let out of this miserable prison. It was in the French Revolution, and he went to a priest's home. And the priest took him in. And basically, that night, he stole a silver candelabra and left. And the police caught him and brought him back to the priest. And he thought, it's all over. And the priest said to him, to the police that had him, no, I gave that to him as a gift. That act of mercy completely changed this man's life. And then he acted that out with person after person in the drama. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And how does God get, the finite God, get that across to us? Well, in Psalm 103:12, he says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he removes our transgressions from us. Now, with that kind of measurement, you will never find our transgressions. Never. As far as the east is from the west. But again, the supreme expression is the mercy that was expressed in Christ. And as he walked on this earth, and as they nailed him to a cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Such mercy and such compassion. And really, he was expressing unilateral forgiveness. Look through your New Testament and see if you can ever find a record of someone coming to Jesus and asking him to forgive them. I don't think you'll find it. That's kind of amazing. And yet Jesus was going around saying, your sins are forgiven. I forgive you. He was taking the initiative. Forgive one another as Jesus, as Christ, has forgiven you. He kept taking the initiative. Unilateral forgiveness. Like nuclear power. It just blows us away. It completely blows us away. It destroys animosity and hate and all those things that divide us. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of his great love with which he has loved us, Ephesians 2, 4 through 7, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and made us sit with him. His mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Out of the infinite reservoir of love and mercy flows his great faithfulness that you go home with. Now that's a lot. A lot of love and a lot of mercy. Man, how do I get a hold of that? I'm finite. How do I get a handle on that? They are new every morning. The Lord knows how to package it. And it's always in Christ. We always come to him. It's a relationship with him. It's a fellowship with him, new every morning. We dip into that immeasurable riches of his grace, his faithfulness, and God breaks it down into bite-sized pieces day by day. As your days, so shall your strength be. Every day, we fellowship with Christ, draw from Him new provisions in love, new provisions of mercy to meet the demands of that day. Now, how do I get in trouble on this? Well, I get into trouble by trying to crowd today with worries about tomorrow when it's not here yet. That's when I really get into trouble. Lord, we don't have tomorrow. Lord, how will I do? That's what I was thinking about this conference. You know, the messages and everything. I was sweating it. I was worried. The Lord says, it's not here yet. Take it day by day. And so Marilyn and I have had a hard time today living in tomorrow when it isn't here yet. And that's what the Lord says, hey, don't do that. They're new every morning. It's like manna. You don't collect for tomorrow. You collect for today. I'll take care of you today. A missionary wrote this, I was regretting the past and I feared the future, and suddenly my Lord was speaking. My name is I Am. He paused. I waited. He continued. When you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it's hard. I am not there. My name is not I Was. When you live in the future with its problems and fears, it's hard. I am not there. My name is not I Will Be. When you live at this moment, it is not hard. I am there. My name is I Am. Today is a slender bridge. It'll bear its own load, but it will collapse if we add tomorrow's. And in every year, there are 365 letters from the king, each with its own message, bear this for me. What shall we do with these letters? Open them one day at a time. Yesterday's seal is broken. Lay the letter reverently aside. Yesterday's cross is laid down, never to be born again. Tomorrow's letter lies on the table. Don't break the seal, for when tomorrow becomes today, there will stand beside you an unseen figure, and his hand will be on your brow, and his gaze will be in your eyes, as he says with a loving smile, as your days, so shall your strength be. The golden summary of life is this: as to the past, a record of gratitude; as to the present, a record of service; and as to the future, a record of trust. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Now that's what you've got as you reach your world. His love and His mercy. And he says then, great is thy faithfulness. As great as His person, as great as His promises. And we lay hold of His faithfulness by laying hold of His person. We lay hold of His person as we lay hold of His promises through faith and obedience that day. That day. Now, one of the greatest resources you're going to leave here with are His promises. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's your resources. That by these, you might partake of the divine nature. And that's what you've got to do to reach your world. It's His idea. It'll be done by His power. And it's got to be by His way and methods and how He has planned, and it's through His person and through His promises. The promises of God come from a great God. They assure us of great love. They come to great sinners, and they work for us great results and deal with great matters. While you've been here, what has God said to you? Has He given you anything from the Word as you go back to keep it? Something to you special, though. Has he given you some promises for reaching your world, those thoughts that are from God, that you can go back to him and you can bring those before him over and over and plead them in prayer, and these words from him give you direction and guidance as we lay hold of him through them. I am so grateful for, as I came out of that experience with the Lord, it was about 1965, and the Lord dealt with me, and then he kind of gave us this promise. Isaiah 42:16, it was very clear, it was an architectural promise, that what God was going to do, and I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do, and I will not forsake them. That brought great encouragement to our heart. Do you know why? It emphasizes the initiator. It's not us. I will, God. I will. I will. I will. And I go back to the Lord with those promises and on my knees before him. And now, Lord, you said you're going to do this, Lord. He's the initiator. He's the power. I will. These give vision. These give perspective. I'll lead the blind. The passage, if you read it, is not the Muslim. The passage says the blind are the people that come to serve me, my servants. We're blind? Yes. He says you're blind. You don't know these people that you're going to. You haven't listened. You don't hear. You don't see. Learn. That taught me something. That made me a learner. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light. And I'm going to guide them under ways they've not known and unfamiliar paths. So that's the way we look for our strategy. Because this is a word from God. The people I put you to, among and with, you're not going to go about it the traditional way because they totally reject the traditional way. So you're going to go down ways you have not known and unfamiliar paths. Oh, I hate that. I just hate that. It's so uncomfortable. And can you imagine how much you hate it when you're blind? I'll lead the blind. That's us. And you're going to have to go down ways you've never gone and paths you have never walked for us to accomplish this. Well, do you know what that does? That really throws you upon God. Because you've got to put your hand in one who can see, and you've got to depend upon the one who made these people to lead you as a blind person down ways you have not gone and paths you have not walked before. I believe that's what he's calling people in America to do because our society is changing so much. The people that we reach out to, those Greeks, you know, who came to Jesus, a different breed of people. And I think he's calling on us. But promises. We lay hold of his faithfulness to the promises of God. Now I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Now in choosing the Lord as my portion, it's more than to meet my needs. It is to glorify Jesus. It is to magnify him. Larry sang about the refining fire, that never happens in a closet. Never. It happens in broad daylight for everybody to see. Because he will be glorified. This is the way his truth becomes incarnate. Your life becomes a happening for the faithfulness of God for everybody to see. As it says, I love 2 Corinthians 4, one of my favorite passages. And it 4:4 says, to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And as you go through it, people are able to see
the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And as I said, this usually happens in difficult situations, not easy ones. That's what speaks to people. And the passage in 2 Corinthians 4 says, it starts with, we do not lose heart, and it ends, we do not lose heart. I love it. I don't like in what's between the bread, though, the two pieces. But anyway, we have a couple in one of our countries, Muslim countries. And the wife was really going through it. Her mother discipled her, and a godly woman. And she died of cancer. So Claire's mom passed away of cancer. And then soon after that, Claire and her husband, they wanted a child, and she became pregnant. It was an ectopic pregnancy, and she lost the baby. This one thing followed on the other. Well, of course, they lived in a sea of Muslim friends and contacts. And there was this one couple they'd been praying for so long and had so many praying for. And the night after she came out of the hospital after losing the baby, the Muslim couple invited him over. And because Ken and Claire prayed when they ate, they knew this, and they just said, why don't you pray? Claire prayed. And she thanked God and praised him. Well, Amir came to Christ some time ago. And then one day he shared. He said, you know why I did? He said, because when I saw you lose your mother, I saw you lose your baby, those kind of things either make people bitter or they make them love God more. And you loved God more. And I wanted to know your Jesus Christ. And he put his faith in Christ. We have in 2 Corinthians 4:7 this treasure in jars of clay. Yeah? We're a bunch of cracked pots going home. We are. Praise God. To show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. I hate weakness. I just hate it. And I hate to get into places where I look bad and feel bad and everything else. I hate it. I don't want to be weak. I want to be strong. I want to be a leader. I want to be successful. I don't want all those other things. And yet Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. Ah, that the power of Christ, it's there. Those places I hate, the refiner's fire. I want to stay away from there. But then, as the song goes on, you finally learn the result is so sweet of communicating and knowing Christ. You desire it because of that fellowship and that relationship. And that's what people are watching, that cracked pot, showing that the surpassing power is from God and not from us. They're drawn to God because they know, hey, it's not in you. I know you. You are a cracked pot. You know, but it's something more in you than that. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us. We choose to go the way of the cross. We choose to be more than a conqueror, which is a living sacrifice. But life is at work in you, and God brings in the power of the resurrection. In our miserable, wretched situation, and he brings in the resurrection, and people see Jesus glorified. He is lifted up and exalted. I hope this week that we have redefined ministry for you. I hope this week we have redefined ministry for you. Ministry is your whole life. All of it. Every breath you take, every situation you're in, that's ministry. Therefore, it's not just giving information. It's your laying hold of God in all those circumstances of life. He is your perspective. He is your passion. Right among all those lost Greeks who say, hey, I'm not so interested in going to church, but I'd really like to see Jesus. Incarnate message, not cheap, real price. And God has not asked you today or this week as you leave to do anything that He has not promised all the resources in the heavens for you to do it. And these resources are in Him. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They will be new to you every morning. Great is His faithfulness. I say to myself, and there will be many, many days, many times every day, I will have an opportunity to choose what will my portion be. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Neither let the rich man glory in his riches. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. We can choose those things. But I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. And the Lord is good to those who hope, to the one who seeks Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to leave this conference with our eyes upon You. Whatever You have asked us this week to do, You have given us all the resources through the Holy Spirit that dwells in us by Your power to do it. May we choose that You are and will be our portion. That, Father, through our walking with You as cracked pots in just the everyday situations of life, people will see the light of the glory of Christ. And they will be able to come to You as You draw them, as You'll be glorified and lifted up. I will draw all men to Myself. I pray for each one here tonight. Lord, be a shield around them, their glorious one, who lifts up their head as they go from this place. We pray for safety, Lord. We don't take it for granted. All the travel that will be done, Lord, give them safety. And may they go with great joy and praise as they leave. And may they bring joy and praise to Your heart. So we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.